Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, Friday. What's up? Welcome in Grant and Danny on the Fan. May 13th, 2022. No Danny Rouillet today. He is in Asheville, not to be confused with Nashville. He is at a bachelor party for a buddy. So he's having a better day than I am and than you are as he kicks off what is going to be a lengthy, fun weekend, dudes being dudes. Appreciate everybody listening to the show as always. We got a juicy one for you. It's going to be fun. A lot going on in DC sports, most notably the Capitals getting ready for their first elimination game of the season. They got to win or their year's over tonight at Capital One Arena against the Florida Panthers. If you win, you force a game seven. You go back to Sunrise on Sunday. And all the pressure is on the heavy favorites. Backs back against the wall for the Cats. And the Capitals are able to play free and easy. But tonight, you got to deal with a game where all the pressure's on you. Coming up in about 40 minutes or so, a little after 2:40, I'm going to give you some notes on Game 6, some thoughts on the Capitals and the Florida Panthers as Washington tries to extend its season. We're also going to be discussing the schedule that was released last night for the Commanders. We now know when they play the 2022 opponents we have known for some time. We're able to break down the schedule, go through some soft and some more difficult stretches. We know they have a late bye week. We've got a feel for who can get off to fast and slow starts within the division. A lot to chew on today in that regard. I'm going to get into that in just a couple of moments. But as I said, we will keep you company on the Capitals front all day long. Don't you worry about that. If you're headed down to the arena tonight, get a little pre-gaming in. Maybe you're going to Yard House down by Capital One Arena or one of the bars, restaurants around there. Keep us with you. The Odyssey app on the phone. Turn it on with the friends out at the bar. Hang out. And we will get you ready for puck drop as we get closer and closer to 7 o'clock on this Friday. So far, things are good for me. The kind of day where I was just thinking about this before we went on the air, and I thought, it's been a really good day when the worst thing that's happened to me, like the biggest slight I've had to deal with, that I had to overcome, my worst adversity of the day, was I had to walk into the gas station to pay for my gas. Because I hate when I have to do that. It's the worst. Real white-collar problem. But like you're at the gas pump and you put your card in and for some reason it doesn't read or the pump isn't working and it's that message that you get. It's as if my whole life is inconvenienced and I'm the angriest person on the planet for those 10 seconds. It says, please see attendant. Oh, it's the worst. Those three words, three of my least favorite words. That's the worst thing that happened to me today. So I'd say I'm batting a pretty good average. I'm in a pretty good place. As the Nats get ready to take on the Astros, I'm reminded of the World Series and beating Houston and one of the happiest stretches in my life in October of 2019. So overall, things are good. But why don't we start with the Commanders' schedule, shall we? I've got some thoughts, and I want to open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines for you guys to discuss the things you like and dislike about the schedule. I'm looking for favorite and least favorite thing about the way it worked out for Washington. Because when we got our first glimpse at it, I think you're always looking for, okay, when are the road games that you might go to if you're someone who does that? Road cities that are cold, you want those earlier in the season. If there's a fun trip, whether you're like a California guy and you want to go to San Francisco, or maybe you're a Chicago girl and you want to go to Illinois. You're trying to figure out, well, where are those trips going to be? For me, the first thing I always care about is, can the team that I'm interested in get off to a fast start? I think that's pertinent. Because you win a couple of games, you start believing in yourself. There's some positivity and some good vibes around the club in town, and it can really be a great benefit. So the number one first thing that I liked most about the schedule for the Commanders, you cannot ask for an easier first two games than they are going to play. Literally. That's not figurative. I mean, actually, there is no easier two games you could have slated at the beginning of the season than Jacksonville in week one and Detroit in week two. And I'm not sitting here telling you definitively they win both or guaranteeing victories. I have no idea what's going to happen. It's the National Football League. You can lose any game any weekend. What I do know is if you got to do a draft and you sat there and you had 31 teams to choose from for a week one game where you had to go 1-0 or your life ended, you'd probably take the Jacksonville Jaguars after last year who just picked first in the draft. You got Jacksonville in week one. And then in week two, you get to run this draft back, and you're picking between 30 teams now because you are Washington, so one's out, and you just picked Jacksonville, so they're out, so there's 30 more to choose from. Who are you going to play in week two? You would have chosen the Detroit Lions. First road game, second game of the season. Those two teams, a combined 6 wins, 27 losses, and 1 tie last year. Do you remember that terrible tie, the Lions and the Steelers? It was like a rainy, gross game. It was the worst football game that was played last season. And I would still pay huge amounts of money to watch that game played again tonight. I mean, I miss football so much. But that was a really disgusting game. I was also thrilled, we're talking about things we like from the schedule, that Washington is actually going to be opening the season at home again. I expected them to be on the road. Ron Rivera and the boys got hooked. 3 straight years, they have opened the season at FedEx Field. You rarely see that. Normally, you undulate every other. But certainly after 2 straight years, I thought, well, there's no way they're playing home again for a 3rd straight year. And they are, so they got lucky there. The Jaguars last year, away from Jacksonville, were 0-8. They're coming to your building in week one. You got a great chance to go 1-0. You go to Detroit in week two, that's a building where they wear bags over their heads because they hate their team so much because they're so sad about their football operation. I've been to Ford Field. In fact, Detroit's underrated. The stadium itself is really cool. I like it. It's not a loud dome, though. It's not a vaunted place. It's not a difficult, daunting place to go play. So you just 2 weeks in, chance to be 2-0. I think you got to like where you're at. You're 6-1 all-time against Jacksonville, 3-0 at FedEx Field. You're 26-10 against the Lions all-time. What else do you want? From a defensive standpoint, if I'm Jack Del Rio looking at the schedule, the first chance he got to, you start with a turnover-prone sophomore in a brand-new offense. Think about that. Trevor Lawrence last year threw a pick every single time you got out of your chair to get more chips and dip. Every single time you had to refill your Coke Zero, oh my God, Trevor Lawrence just threw another pick. And he's learning a new offense. They blew out Urban Meyer because he was a wackadoo. And they brought in Doug Peterson, who's a competent, decent football coach. By week 11 or week 12, maybe Jacksonville's going to be finding a little bit of a groove. Maybe they're starting to really solidify themselves as a team ready to turn a corner. You don't have to worry about that. You're getting them in week one, new offense, new defense, new coaching staff, coming off of a terrible year. Worked out perfectly. And then Detroit in week two. DJ Chark comes in. I'll bet you a couple months into the season, the former Jag Chark's going to be playing good football with Jared Goff. They'll be in a nice little unison, but they're not going to be linked up yet in week one. They're still getting their timing down. And are we sure Jameson Williams is going to play in that game? I think he was the best receiver in the draft. I think he might be the most talented offensive player in the entire class. Wouldn't be surprised at all if he ended up having the best career of anybody in this draft class. I'm very, very, very high on Jameson Williams. But he's coming off a torn ACL in the national championship game. There's some thought that he's going to miss some time. By playing the Lions in week two, you probably don't have to deal with their most explosive player on offense. So if I'm Jack Del Rio, I can't ask for a whole lot more than I got. So that's my number one thing I like most about the schedule. The first two games were a gift. Again, you can hit up the phones if you'd like, 800-636-1067. I want to know what you love about the schedule, what you hate about the schedule. Number two on the list of things that I like, I'm going to give you three, about the Commanders 2022 schedule that came out last night. There are only two primetime games. There's only one Monday Night Football game. And best yet, there are zero home primetime games that this fan base needs to be inconvenienced by and that could lead to national embarrassment. And I don't just mean by losing. Losing happens, right? Obviously, you'd like to lose normally, not in the most disastrous fashion, which is not something we've majored in around here. Sometimes we make it worse than it has to be on primetime. But I'm tired of getting texts from friends, and I'm tired of the shame that I feel when they do those aerial shots of FedEx Field on Monday or Sunday Night Football, and you see a bunch of empty seats. You see a bunch of seats that don't exist anymore because they've ripped them out of the stadium for fear that they can't actually get enough people there to sell out to avoid blackouts or whatever that weird rule is. And you see a lot of jerseys of the opposing team's colors. I hate those aerial shots. I'm over those. We don't do that at 1 o'clock on Sunday necessarily. But ESPN loves to do it on Monday Night Football. NBC loves to do it on Sunday Night Football. You know how that works. We don't have to deal with that this year. No home primetime games. Dream come true. Only two total. You have to play on Thursday night if you're in a decent-sized market. That's a given. And Carson Wentz going back to Philly on Monday night's pretty cool storyline. You can imagine that ESPN wanted a piece of that. I get how we got here. You got to play those two primetime games. But that's the entire list. And as someone who goes to games, a lot of you guys can relate to me if you go out to FedEx Field, if you're a season ticket holder listening. 1 o'clock games on Sunday are preferred. You wake up in the morning. You go to church. You do your thing, whatever it is that you do. You eat your breakfast. You plan your tailgate. You get to the parking lot. You're there at, let's say, 10, 10:30, okay? You drink and you eat for a couple of hours and you walk into the game. You watch said football game. You come back out. You sit around the car a little bit and talk about what went right, what went wrong. Chop it up like you just saw a movie. Text them with your buddies about the newest Marvel flick. You get in your car and you head home. And you get home in time for the end of the 4 o'clock window for Sunday Night Football. You order some pizza. You eat a brownie or a cookie. Maybe you have a nice little nightcap drink. And then you go to bed. 1 o'clock games are preferred. They're the best. Well, how about this? For the first time in franchise history, all nine of Washington's home games are going to be played at 1 p.m. So they've never even played nine home games. They've only ever had eight before this. This is the first time they'll ever have nine homies for you. But they're all at one. Unprecedented. Awesome. Perfect. Their first primetime game is against the Bears on Thursday Night Football. If you're going to play on Thursday night, you might as well play a team that was 6-11 last year with a quarterback who's struggling and is devoid of weapons. And based on what we've seen from Justin Fields so far, he's got a lot of work to do to get to being above average in the NFL, and the Bears haven't helped him this offseason. They haven't gone out and added a whole lot. I looked it up, by the way. The last time Washington played the Bears on Thursday Night Football, the then Redskins in 2007 kicked off the four-game winning streak right after the death of Sean Taylor, if you remember. Jason Campbell got hurt in that game against the Bears. Todd Collins came in. They won the game in primetime, and then they went on that magical carpet ride four-game run to make the playoffs. That was the last time they played the Bears on a Thursday night. Second primetime game this year is Wentz return to Philly, as I mentioned. I love that that came where it did because you get to play the Eagles at home before he has to go on the road to the link. So he's going to already go through some of those motions, deal with some of those questions, have to do his interviews with the reporters that used to write all the stories about him and who don't think that highly of him, apparently. So you get all that out of the way the first time at home in friendly territory, so to speak, at FedEx Field. And then later in the year, you go to Philly. Much prefer that than saying week one when he's first ever playing for Washington. He's got to deal with that distraction in Philadelphia. You got nine games to get comfortable, get your bearings down as a Commander before you got to go deal with that in week 10. But the fact that there's not a single night game at FedEx, I think that's awesome. I don't know if you guys would agree or disagree with that. You can hit me up and let me know. But as someone who goes to all the games, I'm pumped about that. So the lack of primetime games, to me, positive, not negative, the number two thing I like the most about this schedule. My third thing that I will tell you, and there are three I'm giving you here that I liked about last night, finding out about this schedule. The Commanders finished the season at home against the division favorites in Week 18. Why is that a big deal? Well, it's a great chance to play catch-up if need be. Everyone seems to think the Cowboys are going to win the NFC East, right? Who would you like to play in the final week? Maybe the team that might be leading the NFC East. Gives you a chance, a little two-game swing there. You don't necessarily need help for Dallas to lose. And you know, I got to beat the Giants, and I need the Eagles to beat Dallas, and maybe I'll have a chance. No. Let's go head-to-head. If you're a game behind Dallas, just like in 2012, which is one of the great memories for a lot of young fans of this team and this organization, that 2012 Week 17 division title game, Washington-Dallas, is one of the best nights in FedEx Field history. Still, maybe we could replicate that. Let's run it back. Let's have a pivotal game, pack the house, burgundy and gold only, in Week 18. I like the potential that sets up for an epic week of radio, for an awesome couple of weeks leading up to, let's say Washington is gunning for 10 wins. Dallas is already sitting at 10. Winner wins the division, loser doesn't make the playoffs kind of game. Oh, I can't wait. The idea of that gives me chills. That's the third thing I like about this schedule. So again, recapping. Can't ask for an easier two games, only two primetime games, and you're finishing the season against division favorites. I would add, by the way, just how damn easy the thing is, how soft this schedule is. I've been telling you for weeks they got one of the easiest schedules in the league. Statistically, it seems like possibly the easiest schedule in the league. I saw this quantified by John Keim of ESPN in the way of the quarterbacks that they play. Listen up to this. If you hear nothing else I say today about how easy the schedule is, I need you to lock in on this comment. Last year, the Commanders faced six quarterbacks who finished in the top 10 in total QBR. All right? Top 10 in QBR, they finished the season having played six of those guys. And in fact, if you extrapolate that out to the top 14, so the top half of the league, basically, they played nine of those guys. This year, they only play two quarterbacks in the top 10, one-third of what they did last year. And they only play five of the top 14, about half of what they did last year. You're playing easier teams. You're playing a softer quarterback schedule. It's not a coincidence that 2 years ago when they played bad quarterbacks, their defense was great. Last year they played really good quarterbacks. All of a sudden everyone thought their defense stunk. Really, really good thing about the schedule is that it's light. All right, those are the three things I love. I'll give you the three things I hate next, and I want to get to your calls. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. MGM National Harbor listener lines are wide open. What do you like? What don't you like about the schedule? 2:45, we're getting into some game notes for the Caps and the Cats ahead of Game 6 tonight. The latest on Tom Wilson and a potential big injury for the Panthers as well. This is The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No Danny, he is in Asheville today. Grant Paulson with you on G&D, welcoming you back on The Fan, a Darius Dameron, Ryan Clary production. Coming up in a half hour at 3 o'clock, Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch will join me. Want to discuss some of the highs and lows of Washington's schedule with him. Going to be letting the Caps do the heavy lifting as the day goes on, though. They have a massive winner go home. Victory or your season's over matchup tonight with the Florida Panthers. Was not supposed to be this way. Oh, by the way, they were tied in the series after four games, had a chance to go up 3-1. They didn't. It was a 2-2 series. We're going back to Florida for game five. No problem. Caps jumped up to a 3-0 lead. Looked like they were going to put it on autopilot all the way to a 3-2 series lead, and it'd be Florida facing elimination tonight. But the Panthers scored five unanswered. Ended up whooping the Caps for the final two periods of the game or so. And in the end, now the Caps have their backs against the wall. But we're talking about the Commanders' schedule. I want to know what you like, what you don't like. The MGM National Harbor listener lines are open. 800-636-1067. Let's go to Ben in Bethesda to get us started. Ben, the schedule came out last night after a lot of speculation and reporting. We finally got to see what it looks like. What do you like?
Hey, Grant, you ready for some football?
I am beyond ready, man. It's a long time coming.
I know you are. So in the Ben from Bethesda NFL Power Rankings post-schedule edition, I like the fact that I don't think we're playing any of the top seven teams in NFL. My power rankings are Rams, Buccaneers, Bills, Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers, and then you get to, like, the Packers and the Cowboys who we have to play. But, hey, we're not playing any of the top six or seven teams. Patriots might sneak in there too, but, you know, I love the ease of the schedule. I'm pretty optimistic. I mean, the guys on the morning show, except for Mr. Landfill, all picked, double-digit wins. So, hey, you know, I'm optimistic. Thanks, Grant.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah, I'm going to tell you how many wins I've got for them later in the show, and it has almost nothing to do with the schedule release last night. It's based on we've known the opponents for a while and based on the offseason so far. I think people will be a little bit surprised because I'm very bullish on this team, specific to the opponents this year, more than even the personnel on the roster, to be completely honest with you. But we'll get into my expectations for the team and whether or not you guys are buying or selling what I'm thinking, which is, I'll just say that the win total will be in the double digits. We'll do that later on the show. I am completely with you on the fact that they're not playing upper echelon caliber teams. I'll quibble a little bit on who you have in your rankings. Like, I think the Packers are better than it sounds like you do. They're a top five or six team in football. Washington's got to play them. But you get to play them at FedEx, where, by the way, quirkily is not a word. Shockingly, stunningly, oddly. Oddly is what I'm looking for, more so than quirkily, I think. Darius, are we going to say quirkily is a word, or we're going to vote against it? He's giving it credit. We'll do that. The Packers, led by Aaron Rodgers, are 0-3 at FedEx Field. How is that possible? Now, Aaron Rodgers, when it mattered, came in here and won in the playoffs. But in the regular season, 0-3 at FedEx Field for Aaron Rodgers. And in one of those games, at least, maybe two, he's been knocked out with an injury, actually. But they're the best team, I would say, that Washington plays this year. And I do have them in the top five or six. But I saw this market-derived team tiers piece put together by Ben Baldwin, who's an analytical guy, computer cowboy on Twitter. And he basically had Super Bowl or bust, Bucks and the Bills. He had other contenders, Rams, Chargers, Chiefs, Packers. And he kind of went through all these tiers. Well, I say this to tell you that the bottom two tiers in the league among the teams that he's got Washington playing are what he calls the Stroud and Young sweepstakes, meaning you're trying to pick in the top couple of picks to get a quarterback, or barely an NFL team. Washington plays both of the two terrible teams that he says are barely an NFL team, the Texans or the Falcons. And they, in addition to that, play five times against teams in the sweepstakes for the top pick tier. So of what he ranked as the 10 worst teams in the league, they have seven games. Again, I cannot stress enough, and a lot changes, and Mike Shanahan once told me, and I stood by this and stand by it still more than just about any axiom in sports, it's not who you play, say it with me, it's when you play them. But on paper, which is all we can do right now, this looks good for Washington. And it's why I'm pretty high on this club for the moment, if they can stay healthy going into camp. 800-636-1067 is the number. All right, I gave you the three things I really like about their schedule. Here's three things I do not. Three things that did not go their way. Number one, I wanted that Browns game early. It's very late. Why do I care? Well, I think the Browns are going to be without Deshaun Watson for much of the first half, maybe even the entire first half of the season. You play the Browns with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, very, very different game than playing Cleveland with Deshaun Watson at quarterback. And yeah, it's been a long layoff. We're not really sure if he's going to pick up where he left off as one of the top passers, top players in the game at his position. But assuming he can come back at some point after what I'm assuming should be at least a 6 to 8 game suspension, maybe even 10 to 12, by the time you play them in week 17, the penultimate weekend of the NFL regular season, he is going to be the closest to Deshaun Watson that he's been all year. So the Browns, even though they're pretty good, they're fine. That also could have been one of those games, if you played them at the right time, where that's extremely winnable. In fact, they come to you, you're probably favored against the Browns. Definitely, if not with Watson on the sideline, you'd be favored. But now you don't know. And I don't think he'll be suspended for the whole year. So my guess is you had a possibility to avoid him, and it's probably not going to happen. So that's something that didn't go your way. Second thing I don't like about the schedule is the stretch run not being ideal. It starts with a really late bye week. They have a bye week in week 14, which stinks. You play 13 games before you get your break. Now, I will say that I'm not going to make too much out of that, and the team shouldn't either if they're smart, because you can use an early season Thursday night game almost like a bye week. In fact, to mention Shanahan again, just because I covered him at one point in time, he used to actually ask the league for Thursday night games in the, you know, with a month or so left in the season, because he viewed it like he wanted to play on Thanksgiving, that time frame, or right around there on Thursday night, because he viewed it as a chance to get his guys rested with a week and a half off for whatever was to come down the stretch. And so by that standard, you have kind of an early season Thursday game, so you'll get a week and a half after that, week six, and then a bye in week 14. If you view it through that lens, that's a pretty good situation. But just as a general, you want that bye as close to the middle of the year as possible. And we'll see what happens when it comes. You know, if that's the week you're dealing with a lot of injuries, it could be beneficial. If in week five you got a bunch of guys who might miss 1 week, you know, ideally you would have liked to have not had the short week and the week and a half after the Thursday night game there. But that stretch run starting with the late bye, then you get the Giants, obviously not a juggernaut, that's fine. But you finish with three straight really tough games. Three of the five or so toughest games maybe on your schedule. At San Francisco, a tough place to play cross-country, on Christmas Eve, over a holiday. I mean, this is a sport about people, right? You got families, you got guys with kids and with wives, and that's distracting and that's difficult to have to travel on the holiday. And you're not just traveling to Philly and you're coming back first thing in the morning. You're cross-country, like a five-hour flight. That's really, really grueling on Christmas Eve. Then you got the Browns, likely with Watson, and then you finish with the Cowboys. So you'd probably rather, honestly, some might say start hard, finish easier. I'd rather start easier, finish hard, because I can kind of work my way to being a good team. And if I do my job correctly, harvest some nuts and put a little hay in the barn, so to speak, so that, you know, I have won enough games that maybe if I slump some down the stretch, I'm still able to make the playoffs. But that stretch run is not easy. I'll make that the number two thing that I don't love about the schedule. Let's go to Jimmy in Mechanicsville, giving me a call on Grant and Danny Without Danny today. How are you, Jimmy?
Hey, Grant, how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm chilling.
Yeah, awesome. My favorite and worst part of the schedule is my favorite part is I just locked down two tickets for the opener with the band being back, the new franchise tag, possibly a commemorative toy or something, you know. I wanted to lock that down, be a part of that. And
that's
the
cool.
Worst part of the schedule. Yeah, thanks. The worst part of the schedule, I think, is that at the Eagles, and I think that's going to be the most pivotal game, that night game you're talking about. I think that could go one way or another, and good or bad. I think that's going to – the season's going to hinge on that game.
That's the Wentz return to Philly in primetime. Hey, real quick,
yeah.
So you got the tickets today, it sounds like. So are they're doing
Absolutely.
Like 48 hours, no fees, right?
I believe so, yeah. My nephew got us two. I'm in section 240, first row, right at the 20 on the commander side.
Whoa now.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you. Careful over there. What team are you going to see? No fees is actually a really cool thing. Because anymore, they are the expensive part of buying tickets to something, depending on what you're going to. Literally, you could buy a ticket to a concert and you'll pay more in fees than the show costs. It's insane. Someone needs to get involved in that. I've said before, I'll vote for you as my next president if you get rid of like 14 questions before I pump gas when it's cold out, and you get rid of camera tickets, which I think are completely outrageous. I'm going to add to my platform. I need you to get rid of ticket fees as well. And you got my vote. I don't care what party you are. I don't care what. Doesn't matter. Get rid of ticket fees. I don't want to pay a penny. It's all fake charges that don't mean anything. Just let me get the tickets, please. And thank you. But 48 hours, no fees by the team. Really cool idea. Last thing I don't like about the schedule. I'll squeeze this one in real quick just to round it out. I gave you three things I like, three I don't like. So the Browns game fell too late. You probably have to deal with Watson. Stretch run's going to be tough. Also, the third thing, I hate when the NFL asks teams to travel on a short week, and they're doing that with the Commanders. So they've got a Monday Night Football game and then a road game right after that. And it's even worse because the Monday Night Football game's on the road, and then they're back on the road 6 days later. It's a tough ask. It's actually not cool at all. You get back in bed at 3 a.m. on Tuesday morning from a Monday Night Football game. Just to kind of give you an idea of the travel, right? You're in the locker room, you're doing your media stuff, you're taking your shower, you eventually get on the charter, you eventually come home. So you get back 2, 3 in the morning, you're getting in bed on Tuesday. You got to get treatment that day. Wednesday, you're not doing anything on the practice field, very likely. So it's Thursday before you're practicing after that game, and then you're having them play. Quick turnaround. They got to fly on Saturday out to Houston. And it's not like it's easy travel either. I mean, that's few-hour flight. It'd be one thing if they just hopped on a train to go up to Philly or a quick 40-minute flight to go to New York or something. But the Monday night game with the turnaround 1 week later, they then have to travel. I don't love that. So picking some nits, because overall I think the schedule worked out in their favor pretty well, and it's why I'm feeling pretty good about them. Grant and Danny, without Danny here on The Fan. Next, let's paint the show red, shall we? Game 6 tonight, Capital One Arena. I'm wearing a Caps hoodie as I speak to you today. It's a big game for the boys. You don't win, season's over, and you got to listen to people scream about how they choked for months on end, which is never fun. So let's get a win, and let's push back the naysayers getting loud for a couple days, shall we? Notes on Game 6 out of Morning Skate next. Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch at the top of the hour. And by the way, in 20 minutes at 3 o'clock, I've got tickets for you to go see the Spirit this weekend. You're listening to The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Lines from the Commanders schedule. I got those Spirit tickets that could be yours coming up in 13 minutes as well. Couple of notes on Game 6 for your Washington Capitals. So Tom Wilson skated, and Tom Wilson being back on the ice, I think, led to this kind of frenzy of, well, maybe he's going to play. He skated by himself, not at a time when the team was practicing, probably testing out the leg and seeing how he felt, right? He's not playing in this game. I'm standing by the fact we're not going to see him in this series. I think this is, you know, a week-to-week thing, not a day-to-day thing. But I do wonder if it could lead to some type of bounce for his mates, that he's on the ice, that he's still gutting through it. I mean, when I was told he wasn't playing again in the series, I was also told at that time that he is lobbying to play. He wants to brace up and try to do everything he can to go back on the ice. I mean, he's a hockey dude. That's what they do. And that's why they haven't ruled him out. I think that's why they haven't been definitive with the injury, because he's a tough guy who's begging and pleading to probably skate as soon as possible. But I do wonder if there's any kind of motivational bounce, if you can get an energy boost out of just seeing him trying to push. Because in some way, and maybe I'm just reaching here, Stretch Armstrong style, in his mind, he's going, these guys are going to be playing for weeks. I got to make sure that I'm ready whenever I can get back on the ice to help them finish the job. And if you see him grinding and him working through it, like if he thought you were getting eliminated tonight, if he thought Game 6 was the end of the road, or even Game 7 coming up on Sunday, well, he just shuts it down. He lays on the couch. He's, I think, getting married this offseason. He just plans for whatever's next, but he's not doing that. And I wonder if there's any kind of a philosophical bounce from that that the guys could get, because it was the first time he's been on ice in several days, obviously. Ilya Samsonov's going to be in net. We know that after morning skate. I don't think that was in question, but he obviously had been solved to some extent. I don't think it was his fault to give up the number of goals he did in the 5-3 loss, going back to Game 5. He's come back down to earth. You knew that was coming. How has he played in the series is still, to me, the more relevant question than, you know, how many goals were his fault in the last game or whatever. He's outperformed statistically Sergei Bobrovsky in this series. If you want to look up the numbers, if you want to watch all of the film, do whatever you want to do, he's been the best goalie in the series, circuit to circuit, for the time he's been on ice. He's got a 2.68 goals against, better than Bob. He's got a 9.23 save percentage, better than Bob. Sammy has given them a shot. And I'm going to talk to Al Kokin today, who was on the call of the end of the game, filled in for Joe B as he lost his voice in Game 5 in Florida. He's going to be joining me at 6 o'clock tonight. And I can ask him about Samsonov, but I'll be curious to see what he says and if he agrees with me. They're not in trouble because of Sammy. They collapsed. They played poorly. They didn't do any of the things they needed to after they went up 3-0 to maintain that lead. They got too cute in the neutral zone. They turned the puck over too many times. But I didn't think it was necessarily a goaltender issue. You could say game two was if you want. I don't think that's been the case since. So if they get run tonight and they get eliminated, you know, barring a bad performance from Ilya Samsonov, the storyline is not going to be that their lack of goaltending caught up to them, which is how I thought this series was going to go. I thought they'd get bounced and that Florida would score 5 or 6 goals a game and that their goaltending would be suspect to bad and that we would be crushing Brian McClellan for not going and getting a goalie at the deadline. And right now, it does not look like we are headed toward that narrative or that conversation. A couple other notes really quickly on Game 6 tonight for the Panthers. Carter Verhaeghe did not skate today. He had the 5-point game. He almost single-handedly beat the Capitals in Game 5, it felt like. He was unbelievable, best player on the ice. So him not being able to skate this morning could be huge. That does not mean he won't play, for sure, but it's a possibility. It's on the table now. And it doesn't sound like Mason Marchment is going to be back in the lineup. I declared him after Game 1 my least favorite Panther for the rest of the series, although Verhaeghe took a big step toward that with 5 points in Game 5. But Marchment missed Game 5. He's not going to be on the ice, it doesn't sound like, tonight. So if they're without two of their key players, neither are probably as important to their cause as Tom Wilson is for the Capitals, it's all the more reason why Washington should be able to hang tonight, should be able to get off to a fast start and to play winning hockey. And all you got to do, again, is push this thing back to Florida and then the pressure's on them. In a series where you've been great on special teams and they've been bad. In fact, the Caps are 16 for 16 on the penalty kill going into tonight, number one in the NHL in the playoffs. And their power play has been number three, 6 goals and 20 tries. So the inverse of that is that the Panthers have the worst power play and a terrible penalty kill so far. And you hope those things keep up. But you need more 5-on-5, specifically out of Alex Ovechkin and his line. Ovi's still looking for his first goal 5-on-5 in the series. Caps have outshot Florida in the first period. They're +4. Second period, though, in shots, -14. Third period in shots, -11. Some of our notes as we get ready for Game 6. Grant and Danny going to keep you up to date on the Caps all day long. Michael Phillips on the Commander's schedule next, right here on 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.